There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free, then my shame is up.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
There's nothing worth more than will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are living hope. Your presence. And I've tasted of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is under your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come
of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your
your glory, God, is what our hearts
Glory. That is who you are.
You are here.
you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.
your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new life.
Raise your hands right now and just say, we surrender, God. Make us what you want us to be, Father God. We surrender, God. Make something new in us today. The new wine, God, your new power. We just thank you, Father. We yield to you this morning, Father. In this service, we surrender to you. We thank you. Yeah, I don't personally know anything about grapes or crushing grapes or anything like that, but how many of you have ever felt a little bit pressed before? You know, I mean, I know COVID has done some pressing, even with the church, has tried to press the church, but within that, then something new comes, transforms something new. You know, I don't make wine or grapes, but every summer, I beg anybody that has a garden for extra tomatoes, because I always make a few batches of spaghetti sauce, because that's one of the few things my picky eaters will eat. And to make that spaghetti sauce, there's some crushing, some pressing, but something new is created in the process. You know, that's what I think this song is telling us today. New wine, new power. Maybe there's some crushing going on in your life, but let us remember the transformation that is coming. You know, the Bible says that all things are gone and there is a new creation. It says in 2 Corinthians 15:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and new things have come. But the song continues on, because with the new wine, then there comes what? New power. Then, and if you read in Luke, it says, he has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free the oppressed. So maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you need some freedom. You need that new power in your life. Or maybe you just feel like you're just a barren ground. There's not even anything. You need God to just turn over the new ground in your life. We're going to pray one more time this morning. And just ask God what you need. Do you need something new in the barren ground that you feel? Or do you need freedom? You need new power. Maybe you just need to be reminded that even in that pressing, that God is transforming and bringing something new out of your life. God, we thank you so much. We just, again, surrender our lives to you this morning. God, I pray that you would remind us that even in the pressing that comes, new wine and new power come. That old things are gone, but the new has come. We just thank you, Father, for your transformation this morning. God, I pray for those that feel like they're barren or lost. God, I pray that you would remind them that you create all things new. God, I pray for those that need freedom this morning, that power, your power, would break chains in this place this morning. We thank you and praise you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. Can we give God a hand this morning? We just thank you, Father. You can be seated this morning. We're so glad that you have joined us, whether you're in-house or online. We're going to take up our offering. We have buckets. If you would bring your offering to the buckets. We also have several ways that you can give online. There are links online. You can give through PushPay, however it is. Father God, we just thank you for this offering. God, it would be used for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. You can go ahead and bring your offering.
guys, look, I think we made it back just in time. The evil one, he's at the gate with all of his soldiers. Man, they've been attacking the city, and they're almost in. We have got to get this last clue back to the king. Oh, some of you might be new. You might not know what we're talking about here. Well, it's like this. My name is Robin Good. I'm on a special mission from the king, and I've had some of you guys helping me out every week. We are trying to get the king's bravery back. You see, King Lionheart, he was once the bravest king in all the land. He ruled over all the cities of light, but now he's lost his bravery, and we are trying to help him get it back so that he can defeat the Dark One. Well, he left clues for us to go and find, just in case he ever lost his bravery, and we found them all. This is the last clue, right here, clue number 4. Once he gets this clue back, the king will have his bravery restored, and he will be able to lead his soldiers against the Dark One. All we've got to do is get it into him. But I'm not sure how we are going to be able to do that this week, because the Dark One's army has surrounded the whole castle, and there's no way for us to get in. We're going to have to really think about this and figure out some other way to get the clue into the king. Let's see if there's anything around we might can use. Well, take a look over there, guys. Look, it's a catapult. The Dark One's been using it to throw rocks into the castle. Man, maybe we can use the catapult to blast ourselves right over the wall, right over the Dark One, and into the castle. I think that sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's go, guys. Let's see if we can do it. Okay, all we've got to do is just get the catapult set just right so that it doesn't throw us over the castle, it doesn't throw us into the wall, it throws us right inside. It'll be great. Let me check the wind. It's coming from the southeast. That should land us right at the entrance to the castle. We're going to make it, guys. Don't worry. I'll just get inside, and then when I'm ready, you guys will pull the lever, and it'll throw me right in. Here we go.
Okay, guys. I think I'm ready.
Anytime, just pull the lever. Oh, I'm going over. Look at that. Check it out. We went right over the soldiers. We're over the wall. Guys, I think I might have misread that wind. Guys, I'm just going to have to take one for the team here. That hurt. Don't worry, guys. I've taken harder hits than that before. I'm all right, and I still have the clue. Let's see if we can get it into the king. Wow, guys, check this out. Man, for weeks, the Dark One's army has been firing in flaming arrows and throwing in burning torches over the wall, trying to scare everybody inside to get the king to surrender. And look, they're not just using the fire. They're putting secret messages in there also. Let's see what this one says. Whoa, guys, look. Man, it says fear. Look, I think I see another one too. Here's another one here. Let's see what this one has. Oh, man. Look, this one says doubt. Man, the evil one, he is really smart. He is trying to use fear and doubt and all kinds of other things to get inside King Lionheart's mind and to get inside the soldier's mind so that they'll be easier to defeat. Man, he really is sneaky. We gotta be on the lookout. There's no telling what else he might be trying to do to trick us. Come on, we're almost to the king's chamber. We've gotta get in this clue. King, it's me, Robin Good, with my friends. We made it back with the last clue, and we are here to give it to you so that your bravery can be restored.
Robin Good, I thank you and your friends for trying so hard to restore my bravery, but I fear it may be too late. The Dark One's armies have amassed at the gate, and I can't see any way for victory to be ours. Nevertheless, I will read the clue. Robin, let me remember the other clues that you brought. Number one, God knows who I am. Number two, God can use my gifts. Number three, we can't show mercy. Number four, God can help me overcome difficulty. Robin, I feel my bravery has returned, and all these things help me remember God has a plan for my life. There is a battle raging at the gate. This is not the time to stand back. We must fight. We must have faith and trust, and we will stand firm on the word of God, for it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God knows our thoughts, and he knows our hearts, and as long as he is with us, the dark one does not stand a chance. Come, Robin, you and your friends, let's follow God to victory!
Man, you guys heard the king, and he's right. These clues all point to one thing, to one source for all of our bravery, and that is God. Guys, I don't know about you, but I am ready for the battle. Let's go out and help King Lionheart save the kingdom and overcome the Dark One. Don't worry, guys. I know this battle might get a little bit intense, but I'll keep you safe. I'm an expert at all the martial arts. All you gotta do is just stay behind me. If they come from the left, I'll just give them up. And if they come from the right, man, I'll just give them one of these. And if they come straight on, well, I'll just give them one of these. They don't stand a chance. Guys, look, the battle is over. King Lionheart has defeated the Dark One. We are safe again. Man, we could not have done this without you guys' help. But guess what? For some of you, the journey's just beginning. And the Dark One, he's not gonna give up on trying to defeat you. So you have gotta stay brave. And remember, just like King Lionheart, God has a plan for your life. And as long as you trust him, and keep him in your heart, you will win the battle. Guys, it's been great getting to know you, and maybe I'll see you again out here on the next adventure.
Amen. Give it a hand. Robin Hood has been working really hard on his adventures. Pastor Gary's been writing all of that, and he's been doing a great job. Let's just give him a hand, because he works really hard. Talking about pressing, I mean, that's another thing. Yeah, 10 years ago, Pastor Gary never would have thought he would have been Robin Good for us. But how great is it that new things come? New things come. Today, we're continuing our story on Esther. We left off with the cliffhanger last week. Esther has become the new queen. She has now found out, though, that her people are in danger. That Haman, a man who hated her cousin Mordecai, has decided to get rid of Haman and get rid of Mordecai, and in the process, get rid of all of God's family, all of the Jews. When Mordecai and the Jews found out this, they were so upset. They were crying in the streets. And they told Esther that she had to go before the king and ask for mercy. See, the king did not even know that Esther was a Jew. He didn't know that Esther or Mordecai were part of God's people. But there was a rule that you couldn't go before the king unless the king called for you. If you went before the king without him calling for you, you could be put to death. Esther, even though it was her husband, hadn't seen him in 30 days. He had not called for her in 30 days. So she asked the people to pray and fast, and she made her choice. She was going to risk whatever it took for her people. So she goes before the king, and thankfully the king raises his gold scepter, which was a sign that she was safe. He says, Esther, what do you need? She said, oh, actually, I would like for you and Haman to come to dinner. So they come to dinner. It's a great dinner. Haman's so excited. He's eating with the king and the queen. And the king says again, okay, Esther, what do you need? And she says, actually, I'd like for you to come to dinner a second time. So they come to dinner a second time. At the second dinner, Esther tells the king that someone is trying to kill her and her people, including Mordecai, which the king actually liked Mordecai because he had saved his life. The king was furious. Who would try to get rid of the queen and the man that saved his life? And little did he know, the man was right beside him. It was Haman. The king was so upset, he decided Haman was the one who should be gotten rid of, and God's people were protected and even celebrated after that. Esther saved her people because God had a plan for her life. Our big idea today is that God has a plan for my life. I have some volunteers, if you guys can make your way on the stage. See, God put Esther right in the right place to be able to save her people. I have Kyla and I have Elena here. And Kyla, will you step over there? And Elena, you can go that way. So y'all spread out some. I have a balloon here. And I want to take this balloon and I want to aim it to Kyla and I want to have Kyla be able to catch this balloon. Okay, let's see if this is going to work. All right, let's let go. 1, 2, 3. Oh, that didn't work so good. That didn't go to her. But what if I had a plan? Elaine, I'm going to give you that string. What if I had a plan that could make this go a little bit better? Excuse me. Now, if I take this, all right, so now I've got a plan. Let's see if now I can make the balloon go to Kylo. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3. And now it goes straight to her because of the plan. Thank you, guys. You know, sometimes in our life, we're kind of like that first balloon. We're trying to do things on our own and figure things out on our own, and we're just aimless. But if we trust God's plan for our life, that he has a plan for us, and we ask him to lead us in that plan, then we can be like the second balloon that has a purpose and has a goal and gets where God planned for us to go. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for helping us to be brave, as we've been talking about all month. God, we thank you that you have a plan for our life, even when we can't see it or can't figure out what it is, God. I pray that you would help us to remember, help us to walk in that plan, help us to be guided by you. In your name we pray. Amen.
When he told you you're not good enough, he told you you're not right. When he told you you're not strong enough, put up a good fight. When he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. When he told you you were trouble, told you you should run away, you'll never find a home. When he told you you were dirty and you should be ashamed. When he told you you could be the one that grace could never change.
Sing that chorus one more time. Fear, he is a liar. Hallelujah. Sing it, guys. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you today with gratitude, thanksgiving in our hearts, God, because you have called us to be people who are people of faith, not people of fear. You've called us to be dependent upon your name and to face our fears. And so we agree together today, Lord. Your word says, if any two shall agree touching any one thing, that it's done. And so we unite our faith with my brothers and my sisters today, not even just limited to here, but in our online campus today, we join our hearts in faith and we cast out fear in Jesus' strong name. Amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord today. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. Our worship team is instant in season. Our worship team is instant in season and out of season. Because I came in the sanctuary this morning, and because of copyright law, I had made a plan to use a video this morning, and my team warned me if you do that, they're going to crash your service and toss it. Thank you, Facebook. But we got around you. Amen. So we just called on the team, and I said, hey, can you guys do a new song this morning that you've never done before? So give it up for the worship team. Come on. So I want to speak to you this morning the power of his name, facing fear with faith. Facing fear with faith. Zach Williams, Jonathan Smith, and Jason Ingram, three songwriters, put their heads and their heart together to call the devil out for who he is and to grant to us as listeners. How many times have you heard that song going down the road? He grants to us through this song encouragement and a bold statement, literally, about the adversary and his attacks and his tactics. Simply stated, fear is a liar. I think about the word fear. I remember there's an acronym for fear. It's this, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Come on. False evidence that appears real. How many times have you looked out the door and saw a big old man standing in your yard? Come on. Or seen a shadow and think, man, there's somebody over there. Only to get out there with your 38 or your 30 or your 43 or your 53-57 or whatever you're carrying. And get out there and hear something go, meow. You know, Misha, what are you doing? Get back over here. Fear is a liar. They personified fear in this popular song that has ministered to me many times. And I know to countless believers, when the devil whispers fear into your spirit and in your thought life, listen to the words. When he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough. Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness. Cast your fear in the fire. Why? Because fear is a liar. When he told you you were troubled, you'll never be alone. You'll forever be alone. When he told you you should run away, you'll never find a home. When he told you you were dirty and you should be ashamed. When he told you you could be the one that grace could never change. Fear is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness. So cast your fear in the fire. Why? Because fear, he is a liar. Come on, fear is a liar. Fear, one of those emotions that we are all too familiar with, one of the first emotions literally that we are introduced to. We're introduced to fear where? In the dark. Many a child can remember when they ask, can you leave the light on? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Or can you leave the door open? Or how about this one? Can I sleep in your bed? Come on, come on, come on, guys. You remember that? Can I sleep in your bed? Many parents discovered quickly that a king-sized bed is never big enough for a child who manages to turn headlong between mom and dad, leaving mom on one edge, dad on the other edge, and the only human being out of the three that captures a good night rest is the one who's scared to death. That's probably the first effort that the devil makes to introduce us to this spirit of fear. And we discover that there can be, you can be three or you can be 53, and you can come face to face with fear in your life. The enemy of your soul will always try and inflict a spirit of fear upon you, especially now. I've never seen the spirit of fear so rampant on the earth as we see it now. It's crazy. It's crazy. People are fearful. People are fear-filled. And you know, you're put in very bad situations. You're wrong if you don't have your mask on. You're wrong if you do have your mask on. because there's people on all sides that are ready to criticize you. Just this past week, on my fast, I've had to be creative. You know, how do you consume something that will be different than just average juices or whatever? So I thought, you know, does McDonald's have anything that I can drink? And so they do have unsweetened tea. Thank you, McDonald's, for having unsweetened tea. So I go into McDonald's, and the line is long in the drive-thru, as all drive-thrus are right now. So I said, well, I'll just park and go in and grab a beverage right quick. And when I went in, I wasn't thinking about it, honestly. I wasn't thinking about the mask, but there was nobody in the building. Where was everybody? In the drive-thru line. So I'm the only customer in the building, and I walk up to the counter, and there's a piece of 4x6 plexiglass hanging down between me and the girl. And the girl looks at me and says, sir, put your mask on. And I looked this way and this way, and then I looked at her, and guess what? She didn't have a mask on. I said, help me, Jesus. I said, ma'am, put yours on. And she looked like a deer in the headlights. And the manager heard me say that to her, and he said, is there a problem? I said, well, she just commanded me in a pretty commanding voice to put my mask on, but look at her. And he looked at her, and he said, I'll deal with her in just a moment. So I said to the young lady, how much do I owe you? And I paid her for the order that I gave her, and I said, listen, I hope I didn't get you in any trouble. But I said, you approached me with quite an attitude, and you commanded that I put my mask on, and you don't have one on yourself. Can you agree with me that this society has become complex and confused? Come on. Complex and confused. Do you shake a hand or do you bump a fist or what do you do? Somebody, I think it was Brian Lasseter, told me, read an article this week that it is the elimination of the handshake. It's gone. It's leaving our society. You don't shake hands with people anymore. Shaking hands used to be what? A covenant. Shaking hands used to be a covenant that transpired into a relational bond. Come on. We even talked about it in the body of Christ, extending the right hand of what? Fellowship. And so now the issue of fear has put us in a posture where we're almost afraid, even in the house of God, to extend the hand of fellowship because that's nasty. Something that God intended for relationship and fellowship and connection has become something now that we dread. Do we do this or do we not do this? And then we got people, you know, feeling like if you shake somebody's hand, you got to pull your bottle out and squirt on your hands. And look, I keep mine with me all the time. I've learned to do certain things, okay? I don't open doors anymore, you know, the same way. I don't push through doors the same way. I use my elbow and I get in the door that way, and I try not to touch the door handle. Anybody with me? Come on. I just do, because it's the way our culture has now re-socialized us. But can I just warn you about something? Don't let them re-socialize the things that God intended for us as a medium of fellowship, as an act of fellowship. You know, if you have to take it around with you everywhere you go, please shake someone's hand. That extension of greeting and fellowship and love might be the very thing that the recipient needs to encourage them. Amen? Fear is a liar. It is a liar. Fear was no doubt there in the Bible in many instances in the scriptures where fear was trying to be imposed upon another party. In the Old Testament, David had to face the giant of the Philistines. Remember him? What was his name? Goliath. The Bible describes him in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It says that he was a giant of a man who shouted his threats. In 1 Samuel 17:8, it says, why do you even come out for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you're the mere army of Saul? He shouts personal threats to the whole ranks of the Israelites. The giant called for the battle to be reduced, remember, down to one man against another man. And for 40 days, this giant Goliath taunted the Israelite army, beating his chest, making his claims. 1 Samuel chapter 17, look at verse 24. It says this, whenever the Israelites, check this out, whenever the Israelites saw the man, they fled from him in fear. Just the appearance of Goliath put the Israelites in a posture of fear. But the Bible says that David, being the shepherd boy who spent his days in training and tending sheep on the backside of the desert, pulled from his, here we go, preparation and moved in, here we go, faith. He pulled from his preparation and moved in faith rather than fear. I like what old T.D. Jakes said. T.D. Jakes said, Goliath falling down to the ground with a stone in his head was not a miracle at all. What was it? It was an act of God using a man in his preparation. That's all. David spent, it wasn't a miracle. David spent his life on the backside of the desert, just like that, learning how to deal with what? Not Goliaths, but bears and lions to protect the flock. So he was prepared, not so powerful. He was prepared. And God used that preparation to cause him to bring the giant to the ground. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 49 says this, reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, something he'd been very, very familiar with before, he slung it and he struck the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead and he fell. Notice, he fell face down on the ground. He didn't fall backwards. He fell face down on the ground. Fear is a liar. I bet that's what David might have said when he hit that last sling of the stone and he hit the Goliath in the head. Fear, you're a liar. I slayed the giants. I slayed the giants of bear and lion, and I've slayed you. In the New Testament, the stories are the same. In the book of Acts, you find Peter and John were used by God. We're in Acts chapter 3. To heal a man who'd been laid at the city gate called Beautiful. The man was crippled for almost 40 years. And you remember this healing story. Peter and John lay hands on him fresh out of the upper room experience, and the power of the Holy Spirit was upon them. And they said to him, silver and gold we do not have, but such as we have we give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the Bible declares that this man was healed instantly. He goes leaping and shouting all over town, running around like a deer or a gazelle, praising God. And all that saw him knew that he was the one who had been laying at the gate called Beautiful. And this really got the religious crowd angry. It got them stirred up. It angered them so much that what did they do? Hands behind your back, boys. They arrested Peter and John and put them in jail till the next morning. Acts chapter 4, verse 7 says this. They had Peter and John brought before them, and they began to question them. By what power? Here's the clincher. By what power or what name did you do this? Verses 8 to 10 say this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, verse 10, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. So they brought them in again, and this time they did something different. This time they commanded them, you don't teach or you don't speak in the name of Jesus. They tried to release fear upon them. Finally, the Bible says in Acts 4, verses 21 to 22, after several threats, they let them go because they couldn't decide how to punish. Because all the people were doing what? All the people were praising God for what had happened. For verse 22, the man who was healed was over 40 years old. In his life, he had known nothing but the inability to walk. He was a cripple. He couldn't navigate. He couldn't mobilize. And he just laid there begging so that hopefully he could have something to eat. He couldn't earn his way. He couldn't get a job. He couldn't do anything. And so he's healed. And with amazement, he runs through and shouts and praises, which resulted in their being jailed. And you know, that's what happened. The Bible says that in verse 29 to 31, Acts chapter 4. Look at what posture they take. These guys don't let up. You see, the problem with the church today, you know what the church has done? The church has let up. I said the church has let up. We're told the church, don't sing. Don't sing. I know churches that are meeting right now that are not allowing music. You know why? Because when you sing, saliva comes out. I know for a fact, no singing. So you can shut the mouth of the church. No singing, no celebration, no celebratory spirit in the house because we don't want, you know, saliva coming from your mouth. So don't sing. That's a shame. That's a spirit of fear that has been leashed out upon the church. When the Bible says what? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Shout unto God with the voice of what? Triumph. Not fear, not shut up, not don't say anything, not stay home. He's calling us together. Don't you know that in these last days, he has said to us, it is important for us to what? Not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Don't you think for a moment that God was aware that there would be a COVID in 2020? Why? Because he's omniscient. He knows all things. And so I thank God for those who have gathered here. What I've noticed is that one by one, by one by one, and two by two, and two by two, the numbers are picking up and people are resorting to turn back to the church, which we should have never turned away from before. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us lift up our hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 to 31. Now, Lord, listen, this is the attitude when these guys are told, you don't speak, you don't say the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, consider their threats. They're right outside the jail cell, joining hands right outside after their release. Consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with what? Greater boldness. Greater boldness. You just got out of jail, son. Now you're gathered in a circle in front of the bars and you're asking for an even more empowered boldness and a more empowered witness. Stretch out your hand, Lord, to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They said, don't say his name. Guess what? They did. They shouted his name. After they prayed, the Bible says, verse 31, the Spirit of God manifested. What happened? The place where they were meeting was shaken, okay? And they were all filled again with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God boldly. It's not easy to pastor during this pandemic. In fact, it's more difficult. Somebody asked me, people ask me all the time, Pastor, how you doing? I'm not doing good. This is hard. Can I just be honest with you? This is hard. This is draining. This is gut-wrenching, trying to lead a congregation during a pandemic. Sister Dunning, 93 years old, celebrated a birthday in the midst of COVID-19. I know Sister Dunning likes Milky Ways because I've been taking her Milky Ways for a long time. Hey, don't forget Sister Dunning's birthday today. So I said, hey, going to pick her up some Milky Ways and go over to the Three Rivers here and take her some Milky Ways and go see her today. And they wouldn't let me in. All I want to do is just say happy. Well, I tell you what. Why don't you take this little basket of Milky Ways and give them to her and tell her that her pastor stopped by? No, I can't do that. You can't give her a basket of Milky Ways? Can we wipe them down? Or no, I can't do that. That's okay. I said, that's all right. I just smiled and I said, I'll just go to the florist and I'll let the florist attach a balloon or something to my Milky Ways. And they'll deliver the Milky Ways. You can't do that. I said, why not? Because we're not allowing floral deliveries during the pandemic. I said, maybe we better do this. Why don't you tell me what I can do? You can go to her window and wave at her. And I looked outside and I said, do you see the weather today? I said, it is pouring, raining cats and dogs. And it's her birthday. She's 93. She's the only living charter member that I have here, okay? She was there when it all started. I'm sorry, Pastor Phillips. You can't do that. Okay? Fear's the liar, okay? Well, and I didn't want to get the church in trouble. I like making the news, but not for bad reasons, okay? So I depended upon the only thing that would not allow me to pass a Milky Way, and that was just a telephone. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. That's about it, okay? So really, Pastor, how are you doing? Not good. Because I can't do what my heart wants to do, okay? It's hard enough to lead a congregation as a pastor, a poimen, a shepherd, if you will, in the Greek. It's hard enough to lead a congregation in times that are not affected by a pandemic. It's even harder because you can't do the things that you really want to do. So I encourage you today to pray for pastors. Pray for pastors. Pray for Christian leaders, because it's very difficult to do the job assigned to our hands. Challenging. Fear's not from God. You see, when you're walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you really don't have any reason to fear. I wasn't afraid to go in the nursing home. I'm not afraid to go in the hospital because I'm going to take sanitary precautions. Well, you want to go in there with all those people that are already sick? That doesn't bother me. If I take my precautions, and you know, my wife's continued to work with hospice. She's working there over 20 years, ministering to those persons who've been faced with terminal diseases. She hasn't stopped visiting people. She hasn't stopped because, I can't go in their homes. No, they're continuing to go into homes and encourage people. This doesn't shut down God's love. This doesn't shut down God's presence, God's spirit, and God's power. But I can tell you what people want to do. They want to squelch the image of Christ, and they want to push down the image of God's Son, and they want to push Jesus out of the mix altogether, and they want to silence the church and let the church stay home and let them be afraid to go to the house of the Lord. It's time we call it out. Listen. It's time we call it out. Do you know we're facing another pandemic? There's another pandemic that we're already in the midst of beyond COVID. Do you know what it is? It is the pandemic of depression, anxiety, suicide. It's the pandemic that has come along with people who feel extremely hopeless and empty and alienated because of what COVID-19 has done to this earth. Now there's a pandemic that is a result of the virus. Fear. Fear. Fear is not from God. Paul told Timothy that he was preparing him for the ministry. Paul, I love Paul's writings in the New Testament, as you do. And Paul comes to Timothy, this young son in the faith, this young guy that he raised up as an apostle. He raised up Timothy. He raised up Timothy to do ministry, and he was spending his time preparing Timothy to do ministry. And he tells Timothy that Nero is on the throne here in Rome, and Nero is going to have Paul's head on the chopping block. Why? For simply preaching the gospel. Not only did John and his companions struggle with preaching the gospel, but Paul did as well. And so Nero's going to have Paul's head. And Paul is in prison. The first when he writes 1 Timothy, he understands that he's jailed now. Why? For preaching Jesus. So when he writes that first letter to Timothy, he knows he's going to get out of jail. But when he writes 2 Timothy, Paul has come to a full awareness that he is not going to be released. Go to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You are in jail and you're not coming out. This time you're going to lose your head. He tells Timothy that times are going to be tough and treacherous in the last days. And when Paul writes his second letter, he is incarcerated, no hope of release. And he wants to make certain Timothy is ready for what he will face. So he says to him, because he has this experience, beloved, hear me. He has this understanding. He's understood what it means when you preach Jesus and you're rewarded adversely. And so he says to him, Timothy, I want you to get this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I want you to get this, Timothy. God has not given you a spirit of fear. It is not from God. But there are some things that God has given you, and here are these things. He's given you power, he's given you love, and he's given you a sound mind. Fear is that spirit that tries to paralyze you. Remember the song? Tries to cripple you, tries to incarcerate you in a prison without bars. False evidence appearing real. And Paul gives three very important benefits that are given to you by the Lord. And if you ever needed them, honey, you need them now. If you ever needed the spirit of fire and passion and power and all those things that come from the squeezing, and you're being squeezed right now, but let the new wine come and let it give you an unprecedented fire that comes from God so that you can walk forward and not retreat. That's what God wants to give you. You know, my job is to inspire you. My job is to encourage you. And I have to stay encouraged myself. I have to stay on my knees myself. I have to pray myself, because my task is to equip you and to prepare you and inspire you and encourage you and help fan the flame of what God is doing in your life so that you won't give up. We cannot give up. We can't. Look at this verse very closely. Paul says the spirit of fear will take away your power. What is power? The word power here is dunamis. Dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S. It is the dynamics of the spirit. It's not like one Pentecostal preacher said years ago, it's dynamite. It's not dynamite, because with dynamite, you just get one explosion and it's destructive. That's not the way ministry is done. Just a bunch of noise and somebody could get hurt. No, it is the dynamics of the Spirit of God. It is the dynamics of the Spirit of God that will place you in front of someone who commands you to put your mask on. And I just heard the Lord say, look at her. And I looked at her and he said, she don't have one on. I said, ma'am, you don't have a mask on. And I smiled. And she was trapped. And the manager steps over and says, what's wrong? I said, well, she just lashed out at me and said, put your mask on. And I said, she's your employee and she don't have one on. And so my last words to her were, young lady, I hope I didn't get you in trouble. She said, you didn't. I said, have a good day. Why don't you come visit us at Carpenter Shop Church? We're down on the corner. She said, thank you, I remembered you. Just covering my tracks, because I knew she probably did know me. I've only been here 29 years, but most people know me. Fear will rob you of your dynamics. And that's why, you know what, have to be careful, because, pastor, have you become agitated by this? Yes, I have. Were you agitated then? Yes, I was. And I had to take captive that agitated spirit and not cross the line. Y'all know what I'm talking about here, okay? Because guess what? You are a child of the King. Guess what? You are labeled a Christian. Guess what? You are supposed to have Christ-like behavior. Come on. But Jesus was agitated too, wasn't he? Yes, he was, because they turned his prayer circle into a shopping mall. And turning over tables is not kind, I'm sure. He was frustrated. But in all these things, you might be frustrated, but don't make it cause you to sin, okay? So I was firm, yes, and I'm not apologizing for that. Paul says the spirit of fear will attack your dynamics. It'll attack your sensitivity to the Spirit of God. So be careful not to receive the spirit of fear that will nullify your dunamis, that will nullify the dynamics of the Spirit of God, how he usually speaks to you and causes you to have a sensitive ear in the realm of the Spirit and his gifts. If we ever needed, hear me if you don't hear anything else, if we ever needed a flow of the spiritual gifts in the body, it is in 2020. We need the Spirit of the living God to gift us with things that are not our own so that we can minister to people in most unusual times. That'd be a good place for you to say amen. Amen. Paul says that a spirit of fear will result in what? Your loss of love. And you can chase this word love down in the Greek and you're going to come up with agape, what I call the top word for love. There's agape, there's storge, there's phileo, and there's eros. And this is agape. Fear will rob you of your agape, your unconditional love. And if you're not careful during this COVID season, when fear grips the hearts of people, you will get short, and you'll get very short with family first. You'll tell your family a piece of your mind. And what comes out of your mind may not be what you really feel, but at least you got something off your chest. I'm pausing now intentionally. Because haven't you experienced that? Come on, just be honest. I've been a little short with my kids. Come on, Mom. Just tell the truth and let the Lord love you. I've been a little edgy with my spouse. Come on. I haven't been myself. Anybody? It's just true. Because if you're not careful, this spirit of fear, it may not have been leashed upon you personally, but it is certainly in the atmosphere. It is certainly in the air. And if you're not careful, you'll fall victim to it, and you will hurt the ones you love the most. And words, once they're stated, guess what? They can't be retrieved. Paul says a spirit of fear will result in a loss of your love. You'll be judgmental, hard to deal with, short in your responses, and you'll have an attitude. Paul concludes that a spirit of fear will result in the loss of your soundness of mind. How have you noticed it? You ask people, you know, how you been doing? Well, you know how it is. My job was crazy enough before COVID came along. Now I think I'm just about to lose my mind. Your job, not just the pastors. I'm not just saying pastors are having a hard time. Everybody who's working's having a hard time. Everybody. Because your atmosphere where you work is not the same. It's not the same. It's just not the same. And you know what? We have an excuse now for everything. Well, because of what? Because of COVID. Did you notice that? You can use the COVID excuse for anything now. Well, I'm not going to be able to work this week, Labor Day weekend coming up. Why? Because I just want to be careful. I know one of the symptoms is sore throat, and for the last 2 or 3 days, I've had a bad sore throat. You can pull the COVID card. And people are doing it. Just pull the COVID card. Listen, as an employer, you know what you have to do? You have to honor their request. Or face termination of some level because people are pulling the COVID card. You know, I have a part-time real estate business. And I sold a piece of property not too long ago to a man in Florida who bought the property online. Most people who buy properties today, buy a lot of them, buy online. Sold a piece of property to a man in Florida. He had all the testing was done, all the PERT testing, everything's passed. We're all clear and we're facing just days away from closing. And I get an email. Guess what? I want to terminate the contract. Why do you want to terminate the contract? Because of COVID. And guess what? In North Carolina, Real Estate Commission says that if a client does not want to follow through with their contract because of fears of COVID, they have every right to back out. All of their money is refunded. One sheet of paper, because one sentence, two sentences max, because of COVID-19, I choose to terminate my contract. Sign it, give it to the agent, and you're out of the deal and you get all your money back. Okay, COVID. Why? Because of fear. Why do you not want to buy the property now? Because I'm afraid to build now. I don't want to build on this piece of property. Why? Because of COVID. He has every right to do it. Fear. Paul says to Timothy, he said, you got to be careful here because fear will cause you to lose your soundness of mind. Fear will cause you to lose your disciplines. Your normal spiritual regimen is gone. Your soundness of mind is off. Your ability to make conscious, willful, good decisions is gone. Because fear has pushed your ability to make good decisions out of the system. Paul says, Timothy, God has given you power, love, and a sound mind. But if you allow fear to come in, it will rob you of all of these attributes given to you by God. Fear, you're a liar. You're not going to take my breath. You're not going to stop my steps. You'll not rob me of my rest. You'll not steal my happiness. I will rather do what? Cast you in the fire. Why? Because fear, you are a liar. So many people are afraid. What is it that you fear the most? Worship team, you can join me now. What is it that you fear the most? I fear that I'm going to get sick and die. Can I just be honest with you? One day, you're going to get sick and die. One day, you might not get sick, but you're going to die. It might be because of old age, thank the Lord. But you're going to die one day. And God, yes, God expects you to use wisdom, okay? It doesn't bother me at all to see mask here. I'd rather see you here with a mask than at home. I don't have a problem with you wearing a mask. I have several in my car, and I use them when I need them. I'm not bothered by your mask. I'm not bothered by your feelings. But I am bothered when you are falling victim to fear and therefore sacrificing the power and the love and the soundness of mind that God wants you to have. What are you afraid of? Online audience, what are you concerned about? I'm probably more concerned about the second round of pandemic than I was the first. The anxiety, the depression, suicides are up, you know. The suicides. Liquor stores are doing really well, so is the drug business. Alcohol is being consumed now more than ever before because it nulls the senses, dulls the senses. And if I'm intoxicated, I don't have to feel the normal threats of what our society feels. God wants you to have His anointing, His ability, His enablement, His strength, His stability, His soundness of mind. Because fear is a liar. So I'm just going to ask you today if there's admitted challenges for you, don't be ashamed. There's admitted challenges for you and saying, Pastor, I join you, man. I'm not handling all of this very well. I shared my truth with you. I'm not doing well in some capacity of this. It's harder to hear from the Lord. Harder to pray. Because you have encircling in the atmosphere the opposing spirits. And so it requires a tenacity to press in more than it takes me more to hear from God than it used to. And then I have to be very careful. You know why? Because every word has always been judged, but now even more so, every word that proceeds out of my mouth is judged with greater intensity. Well, you heard what he said. Every word is judged with greater intensity. Are you challenged? Are you struggling in some area? As we stand, would you just come and stand in His presence for just a moment and exchange fear for power, for dunamis, for greater dynamics in the Spirit? for love, to watch your tongue, to be kind even at home, and for soundness of mind, for clarity of mind, for the ability to make decisions in a better way than perhaps I've made them before. Come on, stop. Come on, join others around this altar, and let's just pray for a moment. Let the Spirit of God just infuse you. Come on, step out of your seat and just stand in His presence for a few moments. Just lift your hands as you get here and just begin to love on Him and let him infuse you. I see a pitcher. I see a pitcher from the Lord, and His hand is on it, and He's pouring. Let Him pour into you peace. Let Him pour compassion into you. Let Him pour gentleness. Let Him pour joy. Let Him pour love. Let Him pour self-control. Let Him pour over you this morning, because He's releasing the fruit of the Spirit on your life today so that you can better manage in this challenging time. I see the Father just pouring out those things. Come on, as you worship Him, would you receive them as they sing today?
He told you you're not good enough. He told you you weren't right. When He told you you're not strong enough, put up a good fight. When He told you you're not worthy. When He told you you're not loved. When He told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be.
Let your fire fall, your love is all I need.
Worship the Lord today. Father, in Jesus' strong name, we come before you today. We take authority over that spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus, we cast it down in our own lives, God. We release the spirit of truth. We release the spirit of mercy. We release the spirit of grace. We release the spirit of joy and love and passion, God. In the name of Jesus, help us to burn like fire before the Lord. Burn with passion. Like never before, leashed out upon a world who is afraid, who needs to hear from the church, who needs to hear from the body of Christ, in Jesus' strong name. Amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you for watching online today. Thank you for being a part of our worship today. Share the broadcast if you would. We'd appreciate it greatly. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. Amen.